of Tuesday Live with Linda on August 25th. And I had the discussion with Valentina after our last class, and one of the things that she suggested is that I read each time, share some of the results, the case studies that we have, and this is one of the books that we have that are full of every more than 300 pages of case studies. And we have also, I have many hundreds on my computer in German that need to be transcribed. But I wanted to share some of this because, as Valentina says, actually, I'd love you if you wouldn't mind speaking about it after, but first I'm going to read this. This is, I just opened this at random. And this is, this was from the 80s, and this is ear to touch for extreme exhaustion on a hike. In October, and this is by Jody Frediani. In October, I co-led a six-hour hike up the San Lorenzo River through the gorge section that runs from Santa Cruz, California to Felton, California. It was a spectacular day, blue skies, warm sunshine, and a delightful group of people. Most of us were hiking this scheduled, secluded section of our town's river for the first time, and we were surprised and delighted to discover such a place of peaceful wilderness just minutes from our homes. Since this stretch of river flows through a deep gorge, trails are nearly non-existent except for a brief section through the state park. That most of our time was spent hopping along boulders, either in the river itself or along its edge. My job was to be the sweep and keep the strugglers from disappearing into oblivion and offer assistance to anyone falling behind. Most of the day was trouble-free and relaxing, albeit quite tiring from the uneven footing and the steady upriver climb. About 5 hours into our hike, a woman just 5 yards ahead of me suddenly sat down on the rocks. I thought she must have had a leg cramp and asked if she was okay, and she said no. But as I approached, she started to fall sideways, her head aiming at a pointed granite boulder. I reached her in time to put out my hand and catch her head. She had started to pass out and regained consciousness as I caught her. Asking for her permission first, I immediately started to touch her ears. Within about 2 minutes, she said she felt fine and was ready to continue up the river. Later, she turned to me and said, "Now, what was that you were doing to my ears?" And so I had the opportunity to educate the whole group about T-Touch and the Tillington method. And this is just like typical. This is a book full of many, many cases, and we have them. It's actually several pages of the content. It's like first aid following a car accident, first aid for a bump on the head, for a twisted ankle, promoting healing after a horse kick in the eye, promoting healing after a severe finger injury, promoting healing from a broken collarbone, from severe back injury, from a broken wrist, and then caring for an infected toenail. Oh, I have to look at that one. Interested, but. And it's just like, well, anyway. T-Touch for a hangover. This is ear T-Touch. And I remember so well in our companion animal training in Germany in the second or third 3-year training that we did, we had two wonderful guys, both of them dog trainers, and neither one of them had a tendency to drink much, but they went out one evening and they had a really nice time, just like really drinking glass after glass of wine. And the next morning, man, these guys did not look good. And they were just like really suffering in this class. And so I just started doing, I'll do it on this ear, since I just follow me. I thumb behind the ear, forefinger on the ear lobe, circle, and a slide, slightly upward. Then you go into this first little valley of the ear here, this little bowl, and just circle in the quarter and a slight upward, carefully over the rim of the ear so you don't flip off it. Then go a little bit higher. And I'm breathing. Now be careful as you come up at this point, right in the top of this ear. Some people have a really a stiff, like a little cap over the ear. And like mine is, I can flatten it and it's totally open. But you have to be really respectful of your ears. If you have like, if they're a little tight or stiff up here, be very careful how you come off that. And the thing that I have to be so careful about when I do this is not to do it too hard, because I start thinking of all the situations I've been in where I can think of a heart attack or a case where a person was in shock, in which case you're going to be doing it a little firmer. So be careful, because you'll heat up your ears otherwise. And if you're hot already, if you have a glass of water and you just dip your fingers in that water and do this with damp fingers, you will not heat up your body. And we discovered that from working on Skype with caregivers in Haiti during that cholera outbreak after the earthquake, where a lot of a group that I was working with were helping orphans. So that's one of them. And I would really love it, Valentina, if you would just be willing to talk about what you said about the simplicity of the work. It's hard to believe that it can make such a difference when we're basically talking about the nine elements and the different parts of the hand and some of the basic philosophy, which I'll just share after. Again, are you with us here? I have to go here and find you. Let's see if, now it may be that Valentina had to leave because she's got a lot. Oh, there you are. Would you mind just saying what we talked about? We were talking about the difference, for instance, in studying the applied kinesiology and the complexity of that one type of therapy, and the simplicity of T-Touch.
Linda, I'm not able to unmute her. I don't know why.
Oh, well, she might have gone to do something. Yeah. Possible. So we'll come back to it.
And really quick question, there is a caller number two. It would be great to know the name. So I will unmute you for a second. I cannot unmute that person either.
Uh-huh. Well, it could be Rose Anderson. And if it, I think it probably is. And at the end of this call, for those of you who are interested, she and I had a discussion yesterday that talking about what's behind T-Touch and what I mean by how we can help ourselves, how we can connect with that divine spark, and looking at our choices on the planet right now, our choices, and that has to do with the philosophy of this work, our choices, my choice, to see a half empty glass as half full, and how I do that, and why this is so important, and why just applying T-Touch to ourselves in this time where we're so disconnected is so important. Anyway, I think that's who that is Rose. And she has a issue with the phone. And it could also be Renee or Kate, so don't worry. So I would like to, I want to read you another thing here to give you an overview. And this is the introduction to another book that I have been trying to get out in English for more than 10 years. It's in its second printing in German. But I want to read you the foreword because it gives the an overview of this work, how it can be so effective. And this foreword is written by Cecilia Wendler, who did her PhD on T-Touch at the University of Wisconsin. And this is the foreword to this book, which is a book for the layperson. Cecilia and I wrote the T-Touch for Healthcare, which we showed the last time. Maybe you can hold, oh, Kirsten, maybe you don't have one there. Let me just get it here. I think we still have some new people coming on. So it's this book. This was written by Cecilia and I, and it's written for healthcare, T-Touch for healthcare providers. Now the book, and that is available, by the way, as we said before, I used to recommend you get it on Amazon for free shipping, but now we would love it if you would buy it from us and you get free shipping. We're paying for the shipping because we'd much rather you bought it from us than Amazon, because we make very little money on it from Amazon. At least we make something on it when you buy it from ttouch.com. If you go to our website, and you can get it there. Now, this book, which is in this form actually now, that is already in German, this Cecilia wrote the foreword for this. And my co-author for this book, Sybil Taylor, crossed the Rainbow Bridge about 7 or 8 years ago. And this is a book that I dictated to her over a period of 3 weeks. And it's been, I can't remember the first years, but about 15 years ago. And in March, Sabina Kohler, who graduated from our T-Touch for You course in Germany and is also a practitioner for companion animals, she went over every single word in this to make sure that it's up to date. And this is written for the layperson. But the foreword in here, I want to give you a sense about this. And this is by Cecilia Wendler, because she'd done her PhD on it. The completion of this long-awaited book of Tellington T-Touch Approaches for Humans is cause for celebration. Finally, Linda Tellington-Jones provides for us specific information and guidelines, allowing healthcare professionals, family members, and even lovers to learn and use her now famous T-Touches. Tellington T-Touch is simple to learn and easy to use, and its reported benefits well worth the time and trouble to learn. As a T-Touch researcher and a nurse, and she's a critical care nurse, I have used these techniques on a wide variety of patients and fellow nurses with remarkable results. Most importantly, patients and others tell me that they feel more fully human, more alive when T-Touch is offered and used, which is maybe, Yael, what you were feeling in that presence. It's like we really feel ourselves. I first met Linda in 1996 when I attended her 4-day human Tellington T-Touch workshop in Santa Fe with approximately 40 other people from all walks of life, massage therapists, physical therapists, other nurses, companion animal T-Touch practitioners, all of us interested in learning about the specific T-Touch techniques developed for human beings, both ill and well. We practiced for hours on each other, and Linda and her fellow teachers carefully examining the placement of our fingers, our own physical stance, posture, measuring our inhalation, exhalation to help us master the breathing techniques. It was on this first day that I realized the potential benefits for critically ill patients for whom I routinely cared, and I went home with the comfortable feeling that I could try and use any of the techniques we learned. Putting my new knowledge into practice, I found that my patients slept better, needed less intervention for pain and anxiety, and even began complex healing in the face of difficult issues, such as the body accepting a new transplanted heart. And that was actually one of the very first times that she was able to use D-Touch, was during a heart transplant. Finally, I had learned a non-threatening holistic approach that required minimal time and provided maximum comfort through the thoughtful use of touch. This technique revolutionized my critical care nursing practice. Let me tell a story about one of my first patients with whom I provided T-Touch. Joe was a 28-year-old man in the ICU dying of a terrible cancer called osteosarcoma. He was painfully thin, for the cancer had robbed his body of many nutrients, and Joe could hardly breathe for the metastatic tumors in his lungs. Yet he clung to life. Our goal was to help him gain just enough comfort to send him home so he might die there. During a routine bath, I offered T-Touch and noticed his relaxation and his calm despite terrible surgical pain. When I was done, he turned to me and through intense eyes, he said, "That thing, that T-Touch, it makes me feel good inside my body for the first time in over a year." As a nurse, I was astounded. My eyes were filled with tears. Here, this simple act of caring gave me a powerful gift I could offer in a situation where I really had nothing left to give, really, but caring. The next day, he asked me if I might do that T-Touch thing for his mother, who sat in vigil at Joe's bedside for many days, which I did. He silently and lovingly watched as his mother relaxed back in her chair and closed her eyes to enjoy the sensation of T-Touch. In a way, this act became Joe's gift to his mother, one he could not offer himself, but one which I could provide for him. In the end, Joe was able to go home, and he died shortly thereafter. But his treasure to me of teaching me the importance of T-Touch for human connection lives on and on. Joe's case changed my life. Now, as a faculty member, I am a T-Touch researcher dedicated to discovering the source of power of this wonderful approach. You don't need the T-Touch workshop to learn these techniques. All you need is a willing working partner or your own body and this long-awaited book in which Linda has made the information available to a wide audience. I wish you well as you work to play with T-Touch. Be sure to write Linda and tell your stories once you've tried this unique form of caring touch. This is how we all keep in T-Touch. And that whole book is written in this tone. My own publisher, who's got 10 books with me about animals, didn't want to publish it because T-Touch is not known for humans, and so it's just not a good deal for them. So I'm going to self-publish it. But what I'm sitting here thinking after my discussion with Valentina a couple of days ago, I think what I'm going to do, it's ready to go now, and I'm going to put it out in a PDF style first, and then I'm not going to worry so much about some of the, I want to add some more of the cases into it, and I feel like I can't decide which ones to add. So I think I'm going to put this out as it is, because the whole thing, it's written in a very warm, beautiful, caring tone. And I think that's what I'll do. So I would like, Paula, you're on the phone, Paula's iPhone, I see. Does anybody, and Sarah Hauser, I would love to know, now you've been doing this work a lot with cats and companion animals for many years. Is there anything, because you've been, I think, now in 3 sessions with us for T-Touch for You, is there anything, any way that you're seeing this work differently now as we explore this T-Touch for our own self-care? And Sarah is in New York City, right?
Yeah, it's been giving Yeah, I am. It's been giving me some new ideas for how to work with the cats, which is really interesting. So, you know, I'm really enjoying learning this work, of course, for myself and other humans, but it's also given me another added perspective on how to look at the work with the animals as well. So that's fascinating.
Can you verbalize any part of that, possibly?
You know, it's hard to bring it into words like right off the cuff like this. But, you know, what I'd love to do is think about it a little bit and maybe write it in the, I could write it in the Facebook page or maybe share next time, either way. Because, you know, I know it's sort of a feeling thing, but getting the feelings into words sometimes can take a little bit of time.
Absolutely, yes. And the reason that I asked you is that because both Donna and Shagru and Jewel Duke have been using this work successfully for many years with animals. And I know that both of them have come to another level because I'm teaching it differently now. I mean, I want to teach with the animals also, because we need to bring this in for our animals in the same way.
This is more, you know, one thing that does pop into my head. Right now I'm in the process of putting together some kind of instructional videos and stuff, and sort of am realizing the importance of people practicing the tea touches on their own body before practicing on the animals, to get a sense of how it feels and the different pressure, the tempo, and getting a sense of all of those feelings much more, instead of just like going right to the animal. See how it feels on yourself and see how really light that pressure is and all of those things, yes. Which is, you know, stuff I've thought about before, but even more now.
And the thing that's so interesting with cats, I tend to use a 1-2 pressure, which, if just to remind you, the 1 for all of you, the 1 is when you, the lightest contact you can make with your eye, your eyelid, to move your closed eyelid in a circle and a quarter. That's your 1. And that's all it takes with the cat. And with our little dog, oh my gosh, that, you know, with his body and no hair, he loves that 1 pressure. And I can just do that 1 tea touch pressure all over him, and he just like, he'll stand totally quietly while I work his whole body now. So I just was interested in that. And I'm also now, I'd love to hear from one of the Feldenkrais practitioners. You've had several weeks with it. Are there ways that you're finding that you can share this with your clients in some way, as Eleanor Silverstein has been doing for so many years? What are some of you discovering from this work?
I could say something.
Linda? Okay. Nancy, go ahead, and then I'm of course I'm very interested because you've been using it with your dog Linda, yes, and then I want to hear from some Feldenkrais perspective after you.
Yeah, well, my training is more in Feldenkrais than in this, but I mean, so when I put my hands on Linda, like Eleanor was talking about, like the listening touch yesterday on Sunday. And it's kind of like that. I'm like feeling her. And one of the things I do is I have my hands on her head often. And I imagine these 1-1/4 circles. I don't think I'm actually doing it. But, you know, she closes her eyes and she drops her head down into my hands, and I kind of follow her movement to the ground. And anyway, so that's just that's one of the ways that I incorporate the two.
Nice. And just so you know, that one of the things that we discovered in the study that we did with Anna Wise in 1984 and 85, that we found that when we actually moved the tissue in that circle and a quarter, that there was an activation in, as measured by this particular EEG that is developed, it's called the mind mirror, that was originally developed by Maxwell Cade. And now after Anna Wise has, she crossed over, may have been almost a decade ago, but her work continues. This work with Maxwell Cade and Anna Wise continues, and you can Google it. And they now have developed the potential for active measuring, not just beta, alpha, theta, and delta, but also gamma. The brain waves that are activated when we are visualizing working at a distance. And many, many, many studies have been done by the Dalai Lama's monks when they are sending compassion to the world. And those are the gamma waves. And when you imagine reaching out and sending, like to a friend or a family or a person or an animal, when you imagine it, it's the gamma brain waves that are activated. And what I find is really useful is that when I would actually do the T-Touch on myself as I was imagining sending this, I believe it's more effective. And we did the one study in 2009 with Anna Wise Robin Bernhardt and Sandy Rakowitz. We did that at the Oakland Zoo. And we should put this in your cellular wisdom decoder. There are some written material about that. So thank you. Thank you. And if you would actually feel the difference now, Nancy, when instead of just imagining it, actually move the skin and then pause is really in these like 2 second circles, moving, just try it on your arm. Move the skin in an even 2 second circles and pause at the end.
Do they have to be a certain size? Because with Linda, for some reason, I tend to want to do these really tiny circles, you know? And do they have to be?
The size of the circle is normally dependent upon the tightness or looseness of the skin. Or if you want to go deep into the body, when we're visualizing what we call the laser T-touch, so you can see this better. When I do a tiny, tiny circle and imagining going straight in, and I make a connection with that, like I feel it, like the cells right here, and then I send that through the cellular consciousness. I don't know where it's supposed to go, but I can just give that over to the consciousness, the cellular wisdom, that divine spark that does know how to take care of this body in a perfect way. And so that will be a tiny circle. Now on the skin of it, like here on my hand, I can make a circle as big as the skin allows it. On a dog, there's generally a lot of movement of skin, but she may not like that. Maybe she wants the tiniest, tiniest circles. And I'm sure, Sarah Hauser, that you've experimented with cats, and where do they like a bigger circle? And where do they like this? Just small circles.
And when do they like it? I mean, they could like it in a certain place, large at one time, and
absolutely,
and another time, small.
And that's where the animals are honest. In other words, they show what they're feeling. Whereas we, if someone else is working one, we don't want to hurt their feelings, or we don't know what we want. When we work on ourselves, explore the possibilities. In my 83-year-old skin, this is loose. The skin is loose. On some of you young ones, this will be like firm and tight. And so a smaller circle may be much more comfortable for you.
It also depends on the tension in her body. You know, right. I notice when she's more tense, her skin is taut.
Exactly.
You know, and when she's relaxed.
So that's what you pay attention to.
Yeah. So I'm going to try both ways, your way too, just to check it out. And I have the sense that she is listening when I'm doing what I'm doing, that she's really tuned into it. And I remember one experience in the training where we had to visualize a movement and not do it. And I had a hard time distinguishing, was I doing it? You know? I was trying not to do it, but to visualize it, it's really hard not to sense that you're really doing it. So that this is just something that's a little...
It's true for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
True for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank okay, you. Anyways, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any of you who came in after the summit, Gretchen, I see your hand.
Yes, I found using T-Touch along with the functional integration lesson completely freeing. So I thank you for that. And because it also gave me something to do with intention for a while, that was like a different sort of thing, and then organized skeletally for a little push. So I find it very dynamic, and I'll never practice another way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any of the rest of you, Feldenkrais?
Maureen has her hand raised.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I just asked before, when you're doing the work on the ear, is your fingernail trimmed, or do you do it a certain way that your fingernail doesn't stick into the ear? Like,
well, I keep my fingernails at I want a little, like massage therapy, where you want no fingernails, I want a little bit, and I want them short enough that I can touch any part of my body without the nail interfering.
Okay, that's what I wanted.
If the nails are longer, you have to adapt so that the nail does not.
And the other thing I wanted to share was, when I first took the class and you added the pause, we were doing it on ourselves and we added that pause. That when I tried it on the animals, they responded like I told you, I had that really wild cat that I just adopted, and it was having an effect. But when I used that pause, she just melted, like she became like a rag doll when I used the pause on her. So when we would learn new things, I would try it on her, and I listened like I hadn't listened before. I could feel, and I could feel things, like I don't do craniosacral, but I could feel the pulse. And I hadn't done that before with animals until I learned it then. And then I remembered to smile more often when I was working on them, because I was working on myself and the smile was so important that it makes a big difference. So those were all things that I added to animals that in learning the human class.
Beautiful, thank you. And the smile is so important. The reason that we consciously bring it in is because our human tendency, whenever we focus on something, is to hold our breath and to frown a little, like we're trying to see it or feel it differently. And so when we consciously bring in the breath and then consciously add the smile, knowing we are affecting the serotonin, the feel-good hormone, that makes a difference. So we we actually, by knowing more and understanding the effect it has, we can be more effective.
Well, that breath was the most important thing I learned in T-Touch, was we were worked on each other, because they did it in a health food store, so they couldn't bring animals. So we just worked on each other. This is before you ever taught it to people. And the lady had us hold our breath when we did it on each other, and we all went, stop. You know, like, we wouldn't even let them do more than two circles. We were so irritated that when we worked on each other, we found out that how important holding our breath was, and we should never do it.
And that's why it's one of the nine elements, is how we breathe. Now, other comments or questions about this from your experience? Because I want to move on to the connections between the touches. But before we do, I want to hear any questions you have, or did anybody have an experience as you were breathing in through your nose and out through pursed lips, slowly out?
Linda.
Yes.
Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. I finally just got back from the doctor. Could you say just a little bit more about the laser?
Yes.
Because that was unclear, and I had to go deal with the dog.
Yes. Now, besides the raccoon touch, which is the tips, the 10 points, the very tips of the fingers without the nail interfering. Right. Now, depending upon the length of your nails, you will, some of you will be able to get up on the tips, some you won't. So you, as much as your tips, which will be a tiny, tiny circle. Now, if we want to do I call it a laser touch. We have two possibilities. We have a sponge touch and a laser touch. And the intention is different, and the actual physical movement is different. Now, a laser touch is when I want to reach something deep in my body, and I don't know how to get there. And so I make this tiniest circle, and although my other fingers are moving, my intention is right on my middle finger, which is the longest. Now, you can play around, you know, experiment, which is your favorite finger. That your longest may not be yours. So for a laser touch, I make a circle and a quarter, and then I spiral off the body up. And I go, I come like a spiral up, and then I visualize, I don't actually come off the body, but I lift my attention, and I, with my breath, I go touch the cells, and then with my breath, I visualize cell to cell communication. I mean, I got this concept from Bruce Lepton, this idea that our cells communicate with each other. I just give that over to the intelligence of my cells. And I focus on where I think I want to visualize, and I send that in. Now, that's really subtle. Now, if I want to go sponge in, which I do on horses, or you can do on some parts of yourself. Let me think where I use it most. See if I can show you. I work a lot coming up this right side, around, across, and down the left side. And I'm careful not to go, like, I don't make a circle. I start here and end there. And then I start again. I don't close that, because I think it's confusing to the body. So I'm working with ascending, trans, whatever you call it, and descending intestinal areas. Now, this is where I do a lot of sponge touch. And I invite you to do this. You can sit back and I use many different ways of doing it. Right now, my fingers come together. And I'm actually just, this left hand is simply supporting here. Circle and a quarter, and I just go as deep as I can comfortably. Now there are, and then, and look at how I move. Now this is the connection. How do I move to the next place where I want to circle? Do I slide? In this case, no. I walk up. I'll show you on my arm so you can see it better. So this is one of the connecting ways to connect your circles. I go in and then I ease up and step to the next place and So and it's a stepping. So I'm circle and a quarter at whatever is comfortable and deep in. And I'm moving my pelvis with this, allowing to go deeper. Now I come up and I step to the next place. And then I step up. Now you just go as deep as it's comfortable for you. If you're reaching, like none of this, I can go all as far in as I can and there's no discomfort. Now, 2 days ago, when I got right here, just above my navel, whoa, my hands wanted to do two circles and then go in. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. I think my answer would be, one and a quarter was not enough. Now, come on, I want to stay here and really go in deep here because something is happening back there in the back. I'm reaching. I feel like I'm going to go a little bit lower, just below there. I'm going to reach down to the inside of the back of my vertebrae. That's what I'm imagining here. And I just keep going around because I like to, this is a really nice thing. And I did for years, like starting in 1970, there, going all the way down. Talking to this really important part.
Linda, now, can I just share that as I was trying the laser touch on my arm shoulder that's injured, I was feeling like where it landed, where it went, was right into where I've been feeling like a lot of the injury is held, which is in the periosteum. So I could feel that laser just coming, just penetrating right to the periosteum, which is interesting.
Is it too much?
No.
Okay, because that's what you want to. And that periosteum, that's what I felt was whacked when I fell flat on the sacrum. That's what I felt, that there was a lot of inflammation, but something went deeper. Now the laser touch, I started talking about the sponge because I use a sponge. That's where I really use it, in the intestinal area. Now with the laser, exactly. Let me just see something. After you, do you all understand, like the laser just, and it may only, if it's only in the periosteum, doesn't go deep, does it? Just. Now imagine if you take your fingers and very gently using the lying leopard. the lying leopard touch is this very soothing, supportive contact that we can use with the whole underside of the hand. But in this case, at some point, I differentiate it, and I just use this first segment of the fingers. I do a lying leopard just with that, because I don't want to talk too much there with that. Right. Just want to stay present with that periosteum and see, okay, how can I support you? And my experience with what you're feeling, you can support. It's like you're supporting consciously that amazing healing potential of the body, that divine spark that is there. And when we just connect in, that's a way of saying, hey, I consciously feel you. I can make this connection with my body in this way. And it's the tiniest circle, isn't it? It's the tiniest possible circle. And then just this little hold. And this is where, are you doing it like over the whole area? Just the tiniest movements.
I am.
And if you do this while we're in here, we'll support you while you're doing it. It's an opportunity to listen and be present there. And then go to the other side. Talk to this other side. And just to feel, this is a basic Feldenkrais concept, you know, that I learned in the very beginning of my, I talked to this body over here, what should be normal. I didn't get that from the Feldenkrais. I got that from Sherrington. Talk to the cells here. Just remind this what that should feel like. And it's like this connection that happens. It's really fantastic. And I think we can accelerate our healing potential or cut the time in half or less. Probably less.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Linda, I have a question.
Yes. Who is this? Jana, hi.
Hi. I didn't understand. I couldn't hear. You said that you didn't get this thing from Feldenkrais, but who did you get it from?
The idea about the cells, I got from Moshe, the idea that, you know, the two parts are connected. If I'm working on a person with a problem with the left foot, I start with the right foot. That's basic Feldenkrais.
Right.
But talking to the cells, I got thanks to Moshe Feldenkrais recommending that we read Sherrington, Sir Charles Sherrington, Man.
Okay, got it.
The cell connection was a deeper connection.
Right.
Just a more differentiation, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
And without Moshe, I mean, I wouldn't have it.
Got it.
And I suspect, you know, that would have been it's just natural that it's a natural part. We differentiate with all the beautiful Feldenkrais work, and then we can all the sections that make up all of this are the cells, and so.
Can I just say one thing? It keeps going through my head every time you're talking about this idea of the laser. It brings to mind so many things, but it makes me think about these shamans that do like this psychic surgery on people, right. Or this idea of when a teacher does the Shakti and they're doing hands-on, it's the same idea.
Yes.
It's so fascinating.
And when you say the same idea, what are the words we use? The words that I use, we are, I was going to use the word simply. No. We are connecting with that creative consciousness, that divine spark in every cell in our body. That's just this way of seeing it. With the Shakti, whatever you're connecting. For me, it's connecting with the divine. In whatever words we want to use.
Yeah, that. Same thing.
Yes, it is. Haha. And like we, you know, I, the reason that I make it in this simplistic way, is to know that every one of us can do miracles when we connect with that creative consciousness in every cell in our body. Because we are miracles. And when we recognize that simplicity, and when we look at another person or another animal, and we see their beauty, their wow factor, we see that they are a representation of the creativity of the universe, divine creativity. Something happens beyond what we're doing. And that's like witnessing. It's like a gift that we give that other being, of whether it's two-legged, four-legged, feathered, fin, doesn't matter. When we see that wonder that they are, whatever modalities we're using, it's another, for me, it's another aspect, seeing that divine spark in the center of every cell. And then when I start getting the descriptions, the scientific descriptions, like, whoa, like just the basics of the mitochondria and all of those parts that make up the cells, it's really fascinating. Yeah. And sharing with all of you, and I feel like all these different modalities that we bring into here and then we share, give each one of us that opportunity to remember that each one of us makes a difference, and how we see ourselves and how we dare to, and it takes daring to recognize the wonder that we are. Because that's not in our culture. It's not okay. This concept to love ourselves. I couldn't say that word for years to myself. I couldn't say that. And it was thanks to the words of Louise Hayes that she said, if you can't say that you love yourself, you can bring in the word appreciation. No, you can appreciate. And eventually we get to be able to love that amazing creative divine spark in every cell in our body and acknowledge that that's who each one of us is part of. Everything, all of it around us.
Can I just say one thing? You were asking
you
about
say more than one thing.
Sorry, no. And yeah. I'm sorry I missed Sunday, but I was on a Buddhist retreat, so I couldn't make it. But I think as a practitioner and also a voice teacher, this work is going to totally, when I start working with people again, who knows, but when that will be, but I think this will totally change what I'm doing on every level.
And so, Jana, how do you say, in what way? Can you attempt to verbalize in some ways?
I think, well, as with Feldenkrais, I think just working much slower and much softer, much lighter. Everything is getting slower and softer and lighter as I go along. And to stay, you know, stay with something, not just jump around, but just become simpler and stay in, you know, if you're just working with someone's foot, stay there for a while. Don't have to do everything. You just work simpler. So I think that in that sense, and with voice, I think, this one could be interesting. It's a little tricky, but I do work with voice students on the table when they first come. So just getting them to just really connect and actually have it do things on themselves, to just settle themselves before, after coming in from a loud New York City, to just come into a room and settle and to connect with their breathing and their body before we actually start a lesson. So I think in that way, using this, that's kind of where I'm thinking right now.
Yes, and what I'd like to offer you, to remind you all, is that when you bring a person in, or if you're even working with them on the phone or on Zoom, for instance, if you have them do a heart hug, because what we've discovered by imagining this face of a clock, and we're going to talk about more about what that means, actually, because I just learned something yesterday that I want to share with you. It's amazing. So we imagine the face of the clock, and however you just have that person put one hand over the other in whatever way is comfortable. Imagine the face of the clock with the numbers at 6, you know, 9, 12, and 3, and go in whichever, and I'd like you all to now go in whichever direction you prefer. Try both ways and see if one is above the other. One circle and a quarter, and those of you on the phone, like heart, hands on your chest, which is your heart chakra. Imagine your heart in your hands, Imagine putting your heart on you, this precious being that you are. And connecting with that creative energies of the universe in every cell in our body. And then think of something for which you are deeply grateful. Something that makes you really smile. And then with the next one, let's give gratitude to every cell in our body and the fact that it knows that's communication. It can keep our keep our lungs moving and our blood flowing and all our lymph and our voice and all the stuff it does, that creative energies of the universe. Now, if you just take like 2 minutes and do this, what we discovered, Jana, is that a person can come in and you've got these, oh my God, so many things to do, da 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 da. And it takes the focus, instead of activating that limbic system, emotional centers of the brain, we actually can have choices, as Moshe talked about so much, having choices, because we activate the forebrain. And using the Heart Math Institute measurement of heart coherence with their Inner Balance app on your phone, you'll find that you come into heart coherence. And that means that instead of being under the control of the sympathetic fight, flight, freeze, fool around part of the limbic system, that the parasympathetic for rest and recover and ideal learning is activated just by these 1 1/4 circles and the breath.
Yeah.
And the smile. And we know that because we've done the measurements with the heart math.
Yeah. 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 So many singers, you know, they go to their lessons and they come in and there are total stress cases. And a lot of teachers just jump right in. And I think you have to give some space and time for people to kind of settle before you start a process.
And one of the things, ways to think about settling, is to come into themselves, to come into the body. And that's what we do with the heart hug. We come into the body.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
Glenn, there are a few more questions and a raised hand.
Yes, and we'll take one more question, and then we're going, or should we take our correct time, take our 10 minutes now? You decide, Kirsten.
I don't know. Does anybody have to go, or is everybody staying? It's basically Sarah Hauser and Yael.
Okay, so go ahead.
If they're staying, we should take a break.
No, actually, since we came back at 10 after, let's... Yeah, okay. You decide.
I don't know. Okay, I'm putting Sarah Hauser's question. Is the spiral laser going in the same direction as circle and a quarter? And is your hand staying connected to the body?
I didn't hear the first part of the question.
Is the spiral for laser going in the same direction as a circle and a quarter? And is your hand staying connected to the body?
Yes, it continues in the same direction. And I visualize the coming, like this tiniest, tiniest spiral upward. And I actually leave the body. I imagine leaving the body and coming out into this like energetic field and then reconnecting, but I'm not actually leaving. So you have to play with that yourself. It's so fine, but I really see this clear spiral to the very middle of the circle and then in.
Okay,
And in the sponge, I do the same thing, and then sponge though into the body, and that totally depends on the area you're working on. It has to be a soft part. So, does that answer, Sarah?
Yes, sorry, that's great. Yeah, great. I really want to try that one. It sounds so interesting.
Yeah, thank you. And it's basically, you can't see that anything's happening. It's like, that is what Nancy, Addison, what you were describing or imagining you're doing it. Actually make the physical along with that so that your dog, Linda, can actually feel that, because something different happens in the feeling of it. So we'll take a 10 minutes. It's 7 after. So let's say we'll come at 20 after. Okay. This is the end of the second hour.